thing we have to fear is...
In war,
fear itself.
There is no substitute for victory.
Let us never negotiate out of fear.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting hand in hand for the liberty we burn, for glory and honor, for our sons and daughters, ever mindful of the lessons we've learned. Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture, Wall Builders Live with David Barton, Tim Barton, and Rick Green. And when we say the intersection, we're not talking about a collision course. We're talking about being salt and light. This is our opportunity to show how faith can influence every single area of the culture. No stone unturned. God's word applies to everything. And, David, I think sometimes maybe I'm a little bit too, maybe I'm too hard on pastors sometimes. Maybe I expect too much of them. I don't know, but we do hammer on them a lot about not being salt and light and not preaching the word of God to every area of the culture. But there are some guys out there that are just like that Black Road Regiment. Man, they apply scripture to everything. And one of our favorite ones is from the state of Washington up there. Real conservative Bible Belt kind of state. Well, maybe not. But anyway, Ken Hutcherson.
Which Washington are we talking about?
Because Washington, Texas?
Yeah, Washington, Texas. Not
Washington
the one
County, Texas. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Because it's sure not the Washington on the East Coast or the Washington on the West Coast that's the conservative Bible Belt.
Oh, wait. I know what it is. Hutch played for the Dallas Cowboys for a little while. So he got that Texas fighting spirit while he was here in Texas.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. And Hutch is a great guy. I was recently up there at his place, at his church, and they have a worldview conference up there, and they really need it in Washington. And interestingly enough, they have it at Mars Hill Church, which also tells you something. They kind of feel like they are in Acts 17. They're there with all the other worships and gods and everything else. And so they're trying to stake out with apologetics and say, hey, let us tell you about the God you don't know about, which really is the way it is up in the Seattle area. But Hutch has always been very bold. And he is, you know, with all the pressure he gets, and he gets lots of flack, he says very, very simply, look, the Bible is a standard, not what the culture says. And we have talked in previous, even just a couple weeks ago, you know, we're talking about the Gosnell trial, how that if people could actually see the details of that trial, which the media did not cover, if they could see the details of that trial and see the horror and barbarity of abortion, 95% of America would be pro-life.
Yeah.
But they don't see that. And then we talked too about homosexuality that, you know, with my grandfather and others, they were kind of like, wow, we never talked about this stuff. What is that? And if people knew the details, like Bill Dannemeyer, when he tried to read it into the floor on Congress, man, the Democrats just went crazy and said, you can't do that. You can't talk that. What do you mean I can't talk? This is the kind of stuff you're funding. And if you let people know what it is and give some details, then all of a sudden they're repulsed by it. And so whereas homosexuality today is such a glamorous and such a politically correct lifestyle, and you're not even supposed to criticize it out of the pulpit, you know, all that aside, let me just throw some government stats at you. And I say this because Hutch is really taking a bold stand on this and takes some flack. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about it. But the Centers for Disease Control and the Food and Drug Administration, I mean, those are not right-wing think tanks, okay? I mean, that's just...
Not at all.
Not at all. They prohibit...
And let's not forget, they're actually, not only are they not right-wing think, they are infiltrated with the left. Typically, these bureaucrats, these big programs like that are funded by the feds are going to be long-time liberal bureaucrats. Let's just make sure we have that picture.
I wouldn't even say infiltrated. I'd say controlled by.
Yeah.
I would say a
lot
further
you're right. That's
the
better word.
So even those CDC, Center for Disease Control, and the Food and Drug Administration, they prohibit homosexual or bisexual men, they call them MSN, men who have sex with other men, whether it's homosexual or bisexual, they prohibit them from donating blood. Now, that's two not right-wing organizations, and they say, look, homosexual men or men who have sex with other men cannot donate blood because, all right, you ready for this? This is something the media hadn't told us about. There's an HIV prevalence 60 times higher than the general population in men who have sex with men donating blood. So HIV is 60 times higher, 800 times higher than first-time blood donors, 8,000 times higher than repeat blood donors. All that comes from the American Red Cross. They also have an increased risk of having other infections that can be transmitted by blood transfusion. That's hepatitis B. They're 5 to 6 times more common to have hepatitis B, and hepatitis C virus, twice as common as general population. So basically you have two kind of left-wing controlled organizations saying, hey, homosexual guys, don't give blood because you guys have way too many diseases. There's way too many consequences of your lifestyle, and you're endangering the entire population by giving blood. Now, you know, how come we don't have that in school textbooks? And that's just not out there. But having said that,
And I assume you say that because we do say in the textbooks now, oh, you know, how this is so normal.
That's
and we
right.
encourage it and we promote it, but we don't talk about the downsides.
We don't talk about downsides. And, you know, even if you get to STDs, I mean, homosexual men, very small group, we're talking maybe 1 to 2% of the population, they account for 64% of all syphilis cases. And, you know, that's pretty amazing. 2% or 3% should account for 2 or 3%. But for 2 or 3% to account for 64%, that's a real problem. So having said that, there is now a new homosexual disease that is out there, a new one that's come up that is related to homosexual men, and it is another very, very dangerous disease. And Hutch knows about it, and he's been talking about it. And man, they're just really trying to silence him for talking about the medical stuff that goes with homosexuality. So thought it might be fun to have Hutch on because he never has any backbone, never speaks straight out about anything. So
yeah, and he is not a guy you're going to silence. So we got the right guy to talk about it, and they picked on the wrong guy to try to silence.
That's
Ken
right.
Hutcherson, when we come back, stay with us here on Wall Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Often today, it seems that the federal government has become too intrusive into local matters, and federal micromanagement has now unfortunately become the norm in education, law enforcement, religious expressions, and even on what is and is not moral. Strikingly, the Founding Fathers had intended that the federal government never intrude into any of these issues. As Thomas Jefferson explained, taking from the states the moral rule of their citizens and subordinating it to the federal government would break up the foundations of the Union. I believe the states can best govern our home concerns and the federal government our foreign ones. According to Thomas Jefferson, the original plan was for the federal government to direct foreign affairs, but for the states and local communities to direct the domestic and the moral ones.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome back to the intersection of faith and politics. Wall Builders Live with David Barton and Rick Green. Thanks for staying with us. We're so glad to have back our good friend, Dr. Ken Hutcherson. Good to have you back on, brother.
Hey, it's a good pleasure to be with you. You know, might as well keep the fire burning and throwing some gasoline on it.
Well, man, nothing like a former middle linebacker to do that, right? So, hey, we appreciate you, man. And I tell you what, there's always, I mean, right now, it just seems like with the homosexual community and their agenda today, that if you speak out in any way, even pointing out health risks, they just want to shut you up. They don't want anybody to say anything that might in any way point to the dangers of this lifestyle. And now you got this whole bacterial meningitis thing in Los Angeles.
Don't forget New York.
Oh, I didn't realize it happened in New York, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what? Tell us what happened, because this was a medical warning to sexually active gay men. And to try to bring light to it now, you know, you're the bad guy for just pointing out, hey, this is what the medical officials have said.
You know, every time I have tried to print something about the danger of lifestyle, and the reason why is because of the day of silence that is trying to be pushed in our high schools. And so I've been fighting that for years. And I would just quote the CDC, you know, it is not my words. It's coming from the Center for Disease Control. And then all of a sudden this whole new strand is starting up with homosexual males, and the two major cities is New York and L.A. And they are trying their best, I guess, to keep it quiet. But my whole thing is in high schools, you're sitting around pushing a day of silence and recognizing this lifestyle. But we can't even put potato chips in the school or candy bars because you're saying it's unhealthy. But you're going to push a homosexual lifestyle that's proven to be unsafe, unhealthy, and is killing their participants. And so I wanted to put a, you know, I bought a half page article to go in the local newspaper and to say, are you guys still pushing this? And have you heard about the new strain of disease that is starting in the homosexual community? But yet and still you want to push this lifestyle. And if there's anything else that was that unhealthy, you would already got it out of the high school.
Yeah, so if you had been, if you had said, hey, we want to take out an ad because we're going to point out the trans fats in Oreos and how dangerous that is for the kids, or the potato chips or soft drinks or whatever, they'd have been all over. They'd have loved that. You'd, that'd have been just great. But you're pointing out something
probably,
they can,
I probably wouldn't even have to have paid for it.
Yeah, but because you're pointing out, I mean, you're now you're pointing out something they could die from.
Yeah.
And not could die from, are dying
they
from.
They are dying from it, yes.
And they say no.
You know, it, it was the fact of, you know, last time I wanted to put some articles in, but just bullet point by bullet point, what the Center for Disease Control has said about the homosexual lifestyle, by not being able to give blood, about life expectancy going down, about the diseases that take place, about the amount of domestic violence that takes place. All these things, just one after another. And they said, well, this is a family newspaper, and we don't want that in there. So I said, okay, you don't want it in there? I tell you what I do. So I called the local gay newspaper here in Seattle called The Stranger, and I bought a whole page, and I put the article in the gay newspaper.
You're kidding.
Man alive, you should have seen what happened. And you know what? They weren't as mad as me as they were the gay newspaper for printing it.
So they printed it.
Oh, yeah. I paid for it, and they printed it.
Leave it to you, Hutch. That's classic. How did you even think of that? I mean, that's brilliant. So,
well, I kind of figured, you know, they need advertising. They need money. So, you know, buy a page.
But, you know, and you know, I some people would be cynical about it. I mean, look, I know you, brother. I mean, that's a way of actually reaching out to that community and giving them a good warning about something that's a danger to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it was amazing that you not get a lot of repercussions when the stranger write something about me, but I got very little feedback from the article. Most of it was to the newspaper itself, and you know, they even got on them about taking the money, and so they said, well, we're going to give it to the LGBT foundation and GLSEN, the money was going to go for them, but man, they still got raked over the coals for printing that, because there's so much truth that they need to know how dangerous their lifestyle is.
They do, and especially the kids. I mean, I, exactly what you said at the beginning of the interview. I mean, here we are through our public schools pushing. Now, I started to say just, you know, recognizing, but really pushing a lifestyle that is very dangerous, and at least it ought to be with information and say, here's the dangers to adopting this lifestyle.
Absolutely. And I was, you know, my wife and I, we talked to the principal, we talked to the school, we talked to everyone. And the thing that gets me, Rick, is this. When we sit down and talk to them about all the other celebrations, they'll talk about, well, we have celebrations for Martin Luther King and during the school year. I said, well, the CDC has never said that celebrating Martin Luther King is a dangerous lifestyle. I said, and you don't make it about African Americans. When you have a Martin Luther King celebration at your school in January, it's about everyone.
Yeah.
You have homosexuals that want to say they need their equal rights. You want to say Hispanics. You want to say Chinese. You name it. It's not only about black students and the black community. But when it comes to Day of Silence, you don't want it to be about anything but the recognition of the homosexual lifestyle. And I think that is a prejudiced view of celebrating things in the school, and I don't like it.
Absolutely. Hutch, got to take a quick break. When we come back, some of our listeners may not be familiar with at all with Day of Silence, so give us a little bit of history on that. And in fact, I think the first time I had the chance to interview you was on this years ago when your daughter was in school, and there was an uproar over this. So let's get a little bit of history on that, because folks need to look for this happening in their local school district as well. Dr. Ken Hutcherson is our guest. Stay with us here on Wild Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. At the time of the American Revolution, numerous other nations also had revolutions, yet 200 years later, America is the only of those nations still under its original form of government. Is this just good luck? Not according to Founding Father Benjamin Rush. He declared, "I do not believe that the Constitution was the offspring of inspiration, but I am as perfectly satisfied that it is as much the work of a divine providence as any of the miracles recorded in the Old and New Testament. George Washington agreed. In fact, he declared, "I should be pained to believe that the United States have forgotten that divine interposition which was so often manifested during our revolution, or that they fail to consider the omnipotence of that God who is alone able to protect them. Our founders acknowledged that our national success had come from God."
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wall Builders Live with David Barton and Rick Green. Dr. Ken Hutcherson, our guest today, and we're talking about the Day of Silence and the issue at hand, actually, are these recent stories of bacterial meningitis in the homosexual community, and medical officials have been warning about this. And Hutch was trying to bring that to the attention of the school that was doing Day of Silence in his community and to the folks there in the community so they would at least know this. And the Day of Silence, as we were saying before we went to break, Hutch, what, give us a background on that. I mean, what exactly is it, especially for those that don't go to public school, they may not even know what's happening here.
Yeah, what it is a day that they set aside, usually in the month of April, that GLSEN wants all the schools to recognize. Many schools don't, but the majority of the schools do. And there's a day to recognize that there are gay students in the school who may be intimidated, who may be under attack, who may be afraid to speak out, and so they have this day of honoring those students and saying that their lifestyle is okay. And during that day, what they do is they call it the Day of Silence. And that meant the teachers wouldn't talk during class times. The students wouldn't talk, and they was demanding that many of the students wear armbands to honor and let the other homosexual students know that they are respecting them. Well, it was kept pretty quiet for a while here, and then the only way we found out about it was that my wife had a teacher's conference. She went up that day after school, now, mind you, Rick, after school. She went in to meet with the teacher, and the teacher would not talk to her even after school. The teacher was writing on the board the answers that my wife was asking, and my wife go, "What is this? What are you doing?" And she wrote on the board the Day of Silence. And we did some research and found out about it and said, this isn't going to go in our high school. And this is a public high school, Rick. This is not a private school. And so we went up and we basically eliminated. The teachers have to teach on that day. The students can be quiet during between periods, before school and after school. And we tried to get rid of the entire day at our school, but we haven't been able to be successful yet.
But at least
we totally neutered the whole day of what it meant.
Yeah, because they were, if I understand right, they weren't even, I mean, if the teacher's not even speaking and the kids aren't speaking, why are we even having school that day?
There's no learning whatsoever. And what they've done at our school now is they put it on a Friday, and which even makes it weaker because our kids get out at 12 noon on Fridays. So we're pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to eliminate it altogether in the school. And we said the best thing could take place is a day of respect. If you want to have a day of respect, everyone is respected.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of having a specific day for homosexuals.
No, that's a great point. So, yeah, I mean, why not just say, hey, you're going to respect people. They might have different beliefs than you. You can still treat them respectfully. I mean, we would all agree with that. Why not make it for, like you said, earlier, if you have Martin Luther King Jr. Day, you're saying we're for freedom for everybody, and these guys want to make it just, in this case, just about homosexuality. So what you're saying is, hey, just why don't we teach respect itself that would apply to all the students?
Absolutely. But they, man, you know, GLSEN got them all afraid up there. Most of our public schools are going with it, and it's no different than what's going to happen to professional sports with this fella coming out. If you have a different opinion, then it's going to be you that's going to be disciplined or kicked off the team, not the one who's coming on and wanting to push the homosexual lifestyle.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to ask you, I mean, as somebody that played professional football and has been around all of that, I mean, it was, you know, Tim Tebow was just constantly being razzed about just being a Christian and just being outspoken about his faith. So he speaks about his faith and everybody tells him to shut up.
Yep.
Well, now I forget the guy's name, but the basketball player
Jason
comes out.
Collins.
So he's a hero. because he speaks out. So,
well, he's such a hero. He had the President of the United States give him a personal call.
Wow.
Come on now. What in the world is that saying to our society today, except deviancy is now on the honor roll?
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate you saying it like that, Hutch, because not enough people are willing to say what this is. And our kids, I don't think, I mean, they're being taught to accept and honor and respect and all this, the activity itself, not just the person, but the activity itself. And they don't know how deviant this is. We don't talk about the deviance, the nastiness of this. And so our kids, our college kids are coming up in the church and then they go off to college and they're taught to accept all this. And they just say, well, it would be wrong for me to say that what they're doing is wrong. Well, some things just are flat wrong.
Well, let me walk up and hit you in the face.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to say, well, you know, Hutch has the right to do that. Are you going to say that's wrong? And every now and then we got to come to a conclusion. There is right and there is wrong.
That's right.
There is good and there is evil. There's things that build up society, things that destroys it, things that makes the family stronger and things that makes the family weaker. Mm-hmm. And until we as believers start being unified on this, more and more deviancy is going to take place. And that's why I'm gathering pastors, Rick, all over the United States to join me in my Black Robe Brigade. It's unbelievable how many pastors are more afraid of the sheep than they are of God.
Mm. Hey, and by the way, how can people get involved with you on that? Let's give some websites and some information. They just need to go to your church website? Or
oh, it's real easy. It's HutchPost, HUTCHPOST.org, HutchPost.org. You get there and you see all the articles that I have been writing about what's going wrong with our society. And right on there, you got a place where it says, join the Black Robe Brigade.
All right, we're going to do a link to that today, and I'm glad you mentioned that as well. I just, you know, I interviewed Dr. Lawrence White from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston about mm-hmm. the Gosnell trial, and he was making the same point you just made. I mean, about things are right and wrong, and it's the church, it's the pastors that need to be standing up and saying no to this stuff, this barbarism in our abortion clinics across the country. It's happening in our backyard, and you know, whether it's the homosexuality or whatever it is. I mean, if we're not willing to say things are wrong, if the church is not willing to say that, we're no longer salt and light.
Well, Rick, the biggest problem today is in the church that the church is more excited about being accepting and teaching love than they are about being righteous before God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is a shame, my brother. And as long as I live and as long as I can breathe, that is not going to be the norm as far as I can say, and I'm going to help. And churches and pastors, if you're out there, get a backbone. Come join me.
Amen.
Let's deal with it. Even when they wanted to go after Chris Broussard, you know, the brother that on ESPN that said that this is just sin.
Yeah.
And he named several. I got a hold to about 250 ministries, brother, and said, you need to make sure you call ESPN and you let them know that you're behind Chris. And I think that's the only reason he still have a job.
Oh, man. Well, God bless you for doing that. That's what we need more of, Hutch. That's why I love you, man. Let's do it again soon, bro. Appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure, my brother. Take care now.
That's Pastor Ken Hutcherson, folks. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment with David Barton. Hey, friends. Rick Green from Wobblers Live here. Are you as concerned about the Second Amendment and protecting our right to be able to protect our families as I am? I haven't been this concerned about the Second Amendment since my days back in the legislature, and one of the tools that helped me to pass legislation protecting the Second Amendment was David Barton's book, The Second Amendment, Preserving the Inalienable Right of Individual Self-Protection. I could not believe all the great Founding Fathers' quotes and even quotes from the courts talking about our right to keep and bear arms. Try this one. Fisher Ames, a framer of the Second Amendment, said, "The right of bearing arms is declared to be inherent in the people." Sam Adams, signer of the Declaration, said, "The Constitution can never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms." And it goes on and on and on. It's a great primer on the Second Amendment. All of us need to get educated on this issue. For more information on David Barton's book on the Second Amendment, check it out at wallbuilders.com. Let the torch of freedom burn. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Well Builders Live. Thanks to Ken Hutcherson. Appreciate what a man of God that is, and fearless. I love the way he's willing to stand up and speak to every area of the culture. Nothing scares him off.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I were in his family, like his wife was, I went to school and I asked a teacher a question, and all she would do is write out answers on the blackboard, and she would not talk to me or address me. I would be more than really put out. You know, that would send me over the top. And to think that that's what they did all day long for students. Now, how much instruction can you actually get in a class when you're not talking, but you're writing things out? I mean, this is nuts, and I'm glad they stood up for it and got a lot of that changed. But, you know, I love the point he made, too, that too many pastors are more afraid of their sheep than they are of God. And that's why he speaks out. He's not afraid of his sheep. He's afraid of God. But I've gone on record before, and I'll say it again. I think Romans 1:27 is one of the reasons that we'll never find a complete cure for AIDS. And if we do, there'll be another disease pop up like this bacterial meningitis. Because the Bible says this, Romans 1:27 says, men committed shameful acts with other men, sexual acts, and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. There is going to be a consequence for this type of sexual behavior. So even if we find a cure for AIDS, something like bacterial meningitis is going to pop up. If we cure that, something else is going to pop up, because God says there is a penalty in your own body when you do this kind of sexual acts. And the Bible calls them shameful sexual acts. And so we as Christians have to have that same position regardless of what the culture says. And Hutch is one of those guys who does.
And not afraid to speak it. It's time for truth to be spoken. We gotta stop hiding and being afraid of taking on these kind of fights. Special thanks to Ken Hutcherson for joining us today, folks. And thank you for listening to Wall Builders Live.
We stand undivided.